This morning, or you know, the past couple weeks, Pastor Lee has been doing really well with the jokes. So I figured that I would just carry that on this morning. First one, you know, just to tell you guys a little bit about myself, like facial hair, I used to hate it. Like, it was awful to me. Like, I thought it was dirty. Like, I didn't like it. But then it just kind of started growing on me. You know, over time, it just started, you know. Second one, yeah, got it. Sunk in. Second, what do you call a cow during an earthquake? Milkshake, exactly. That's right. And last one here, Ms. Jody, if you would put that up. It's a couple pieces of coal. And Mama Cole is saying, your dad's been under a lot of pressure lately. Turned into a diamond, right? Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So today, the message that I feel like God's put on my heart for this morning is called Gathering Stones. Can everybody say that with me? Gathering Stones. Gathering Stones. Yeah, yeah. As you guys know, it's the last Sunday of 2019, right? It's crazy. It flew by. I can't believe that we're already here. But not only that, it's the last Sunday of the decade, right? We're about to go into a brand new decade, into 2020. It's super weird. Like 10 years ago, I was a sophomore in high school. Like, yeah, super, super weird. But during this time, during the end of the year, it's almost a time to look forward, right? It's a time to get prepared for the new year, right? People are kind of starting to form their resolutions, kind of starting to form their goals for what they want to accomplish this upcoming year. It's a time to look forward, right? But this morning, I believe that God very specifically wants us to look back. This morning, he wants us to look back. So if you guys would, just turn in your Bibles with me to Joshua, and it will be in chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Joshua 4:1. Awesome. So we'll go ahead and start reading. It says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You should carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. All right, so let's jump down to verse 19. It says, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Do you guys mind if we pray real quick? Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning, God. I thank you for this opportunity, God, to share your word, Father, to be your mouthpiece, God, to your people, to your congregation, God, and I just ask that during this time, Father, that you would help us to block out distraction, God, that you would help us to open our heart, Lord, Father, and hear the word that you have for us this morning, God. I just ask, Lord, that you would just work during this time, Lord, Father, work in our hearts and work in our lives during this time, Father. We just love you so much, and we praise you, and we thank you, and bless you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. So just a little bit of setting about this book or about this passage that we just read. Israel... the nation of Israel is about to enter the promised land, right? They're about to go into the land that God had promised them. the Bible describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey, right? It was a rich land, a land with a lot to offer. They were about to receive a new thing from God, right? God was about to give them a new beginning in a new land. He was about to give them a new opportunity, right? And along this journey to the promised land, they come to the edge of the Jordan River, right? And when they reach the river, the Bible tells us that the river was in flood stage. So this river is overflowing with water, right? So they know that they're supposed to get across, but how am I going to get across this river? How am I going to take an entire nation and cross this river when it's overflowing, right? So God very specifically tells them, when you step into the water, as soon as you step in, it'll part, right? And that's exactly what happened. As soon as they took a step into the river, as soon as their feet hit the water, it split, right? And the Bible tells us that the water went back far, like, so it went back to a town that was pretty far away from where they were standing, right? So it had to be miles and miles that this, you know, water had split. It said that the water from upstream just stopped flowing, and it says that it gathered on itself, right? That's a pretty cool visual to me, that it was flowing, and then all of a sudden it stopped, and it just continues to gather and gather and gather on itself, right? So Israel is now able to cross the Jordan, right? They're able to go across the Jordan. I believe that out of this passage and out of this story, we can get two very specific things for where we are at today, right? The first thing, and if you're taking notes, please write this down. Number one, I believe that God, in through this story and speaking about our year this year, I believe that number one, God wants us to look at the good. Look at the good. Right? Israel, up until this point, they've been through a lot, right? They've experienced a lot. They were slaves in Egypt, right? God sent Moses to deliver them. He came, he delivered them. They went, they saw all the plagues, right? And God delivered them from Egypt, right? As they were being delivered from Egypt and Pharaoh had finally let them go, they were on their way. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's men are behind them now, right? Pharaoh had sent his men saying, no, I changed my mind. I want them to come back, right? So they're chasing them. They come up to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, it's another obstacle, right, that they're facing. They've been free, but now I have this sea in front of me with Pharaoh's army behind me. How am I going to get across, right? And God makes a way, and he splits, and he dries up the Red Sea again, right? And so they're able to go through, right, and cross on the other side safely. And Pharaoh's men get drowned in the Red Sea, right? So they experience that. And afterwards, they wander in the desert for 40 years, right, trying to find this land that God had promised to them. While this story is taking place, Moses has now passed away a couple chapters before. And so now the nation of Israel is being led by a man named Joshua, right? Throughout this journey, there's been a lot for Israel. There's been a lot of travel, right? There's been a lot of change. There's also been a lot of complaining from Israel, right? They complained about a lot of things, right? They complained about how their water tasted. They complained about how hungry they were. They complained about how thirsty they were. Once they did get food, they complained about the food that they were given. They complained about Moses' leadership. They complained because there were supposedly giants in the land and we're too weak and we can't get into the land, right? And then more complaining about Moses, right? And the list goes on and on and on. And I'd like to think that I would be different from Israel, that in that situation, I probably would not be whining. But then, like, and I'm sure a lot of men in here can vouch with me, when you get a cold, it's like the most terrible thing in the world, right? So when I get like a little tiny cold, I am like the biggest baby. Like, I am whining. Like, so probably after we leave here, like, my wife's going to hear me whining for a really long time. So I'd like to think that I wouldn't whine in the desert for 40 years, but more than likely, I probably would. Right. But in this passage, in this story where Israel is crossing the Jordan, they've taken up these 12 stones. God very specifically tells them to remember the good. Very specifically tells them to remember the good times. Right. He has them gather 12 stones. And verse 21 tells us he spoke to the children of Israel saying, when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land, right? He wanted them to fix their eyes on the good that he had done for them as opposed to the bad that had happened to them, right? I believe for us, we need to take that principle to heart where we stand today. At the end of the year, it's oftentimes a time of reflection, a time for us to, you know, we talked about looking forward, but also it's a time to look back and see what all happened this year, right? So let me pose this question to you. How was your year this year? How was your year this year? And a lot of times that question brings, it's kind of a loaded question, right? Sometimes it brings good memories, but a lot of times the first thing we remember is the worst thing that we went through this year. When I ask, how's your year? A lot of you guys, the worst thing that happened to you this year popped into your head, right? The worst thing that you went through popped into your head. And that's understandable, right? Because a lot of us in this room, we went through some stuff this year, right? Raise your hand if you went through some stuff this year. Yeah, pretty much everybody, right? But even in the worst, even in the absolute worst thing that happened to you this year, God was present. God was there. If we choose to look at the bad, every year is going to be a bad year, right? Every year is going to be a bad year. If we choose to look at the bad, everything is going to be a negative, right? You hear people all the time, well, our country's just going downhill. There's X, Y, and Z happening. Like, there's so much bad going on. We don't even have a president right now, right? There's so much stuff going on. And I know we have a president. That's just, anyway. But from creation, right, we can look back and even from creation say, well, you know, there's been bad happening from then. From day one, there's been bad things happening, right? It's easy to look at the footprint that mankind has left on the earth and say, well, you know, it's been nothing but bad, right? It's been a lot of bad. Things have been messed up from the beginning. There's been terrible things that have been happening since then, right? But check this out. Check this out. If we jump back into the story, if we jump back a chapter, we started chapter 4. If we jump back a chapter and look at Joshua 3:16, it says that the water stopped flowing and it piled up in a heap at a town that was a great distance away from the Israelites, right? Can you imagine just like being outside, like hanging up your clothes to dry, and then all of a sudden you look over and the river is like just like 20 feet tall, like way over your house? I would kind of be freaking out, honestly. But the name of this town, right, the name of the town where the water is piling up, the name of that town was Adam. It was Adam. Okay, and I was reading this and I was like, whoa, like, God, the miracle like literally happened at Adam. The goodness of God happened at Adam. It happened at Adam, the city, right? So we saw God's goodness in Adam, but we also saw God's goodness at Adam from the beginning. In the garden, we saw God's goodness at Adam, right? From God's creation, we see his goodness. From the start, we see his goodness and his faithfulness, and we continue to see it even today, right? Through the good things that we go through and through the bad things that we go through, we see God's goodness there, right? Yeah, the enemy tries to knock you down. The enemy tries to wound you. The enemy tries to knock you off of track, and he tries to stop you, right? But from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of creation, from Adam, God has had your back, and God's been with you every step of the way, right? While you were hurting, God was there. While you were down, God was there. While you were struggling, God was there. When your finances were tight, God was there. When your car broke down, God was there. When you were angry, God was there. When you got snappy at your spouse because you were kind of hungry, God was there too, right? God's been there from the beginning. In the big and in the small, God is there. But I believe sometimes we don't see God in our midst because we're focusing on the giant that's in front of us. We're focusing on the river that's in front of us that's overflowing, and we can't see God's goodness because that river is just too flooded. There's no way I'm getting through this, right? Maybe you're like, this whole year, I've just been getting doors closed on me, like left and right. There's just been doors that have been closed on me. God's goodness is in closed doors too. How do you know that God's goodness, how do you know that God closing that door wasn't him protecting you from something, wasn't him keeping you from something, right? As we wrap up this year and as you reflect on everything that happened this year, so let's celebrate the good. Let's choose to look at the good. Maybe there was a lot of bad that happened this year, and there's just little victories. Celebrate the little victories because God was there. right? God helped you through that victory. God helped you through everything that you went through this year, right? So let's focus on the good. The second thing that I believe that we can see in this passage is, number two, struggles can be a sign. Struggles can be a sign. In this passage, Joshua refers to a few events that Israel has gone through, right? He referred to God splitting the Jordan, right, which just happened, we just read about. And he referred to God drying up the Red Sea whenever they were fleeing from Pharaoh. In verse 23, it says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." See, before these situations were miracles, they were first obstacles, right? Before them walking through the Jordan River was a miracle, it first was an obstacle. Before they could enter the promised land, they had to get through the flood of Jordan, right? Before the Israelites saw God's faithfulness in the Red Sea, they first saw Pharaoh's army coming after them, right? Before they saw manna falling from the sky while they were in the wilderness, they first saw hunger, right? Before they were able to see a miracle, they first saw an obstacle, right? These were very real and very tangible struggles that they were going through, right? I think at times, you know, we tend to look at the difficulty that's in front of us and that's all that we focus on, right? And please hear me, like, I'm not in any way saying that pain and suffering and struggles are caused by God. Like, I'm not saying that at all. God doesn't send us pain and suffering. But rather, he can use pain and suffering that is a product of this broken and messed up world. And the pain and the suffering that was purposed to hurt you and bring you down, he can flip that around for good, right? We can choose to look at what we're going through as an obstacle, or we can choose to look at it as an opportunity for God to show up and show out, right? There's an illustration that one of my professors while I was at CFNI shared with me, and it was about the process of a samurai sword and how it's made. And I tried to look up the name of it, like, while I was preparing for this message, and I could not find it. But basically what it is the swordsmith, he takes, like, this chunk of metal, right, and he sticks it into this furnace, and he, like, lights that furnace to where it reaches, like, 2,500 degrees, right, super hot. And then once it reaches that temperature, he pulls the sword out, he lets it cool for a little while, and then he sticks it back in and heats it back up, okay? Then he takes it out, and then he begins to just hammer away at it, just hammers away at this chunk of metal, just hammering and hammering and hammering. And then once it's flexible enough, once it's thin enough, what he does is he takes it off of the table, and then he folds it, right? He folds it, and then he puts it back on, and he just begins hammering again. So in that folding of this sword, he's adding layers, and he's adding layers. And with those layers comes strength. Right, he's adding strength, more strength to this sword. Every layer that he does, he's adding strength, right? And as he's hammering, what the hammering is doing is it's bringing the impurities out of the sword, right? So what are out of the metal. So what it does is as he's hammering away at this metal, the impurities are starting to come to the top, right? They're starting to come to the top. And the more he hammers, they come up to the top and eventually they split, like they come off of that chunk of metal. And so me, I'm like, okay, cool, like that's waste. Like I'm just going to throw that away. But he does something special with it. What he does is he kind of sets it to the side and he just keeps going. He keeps hammering and he keeps hammering. And so there's not much impurity that's left. Okay? So all this bad stuff now is out of the metal and it's over here to the side. And he just continues hammering and continues folding and he's just adding strength to this sword. So what he does is with this discarded pile of metal, what he does is he heats it up. Okay? And then at about the halfway point of him folding, what he does is he takes that melted, discarded stuff and he pours it into the middle of the sword, right? And then he just continues his process of folding and folding and folding. And then finally, once he's done folding, you have a sword. But it's not just a regular sword. See, with this sword, what once made that sword weak is now in the center of the sword, adding strength to it, right? What once was viewed as an impurity or something negative in that sword is now in the middle adding strength to this sword, right? See, you may have gone through some stuff this year, and maybe it made you feel weak. Maybe it made you feel like you were alone. Maybe it made you feel like you were going through like the worst thing in the world, right? But God can use that thing that once made you weak and make you strong, right? What the enemy meant for bad for you this year, the Lord turned it around for good, and it made you stronger, right? God can use what the enemy meant for evil, and he can turn it around for good. Yeah, I used to be depressed. Yeah, the enemy had me down, but now by God's Holy Spirit, I can call others out of depression, right? I used to be sick, but God healed me, and now I can share my hope with others and tell them that they too can be healed. Yeah, I used to be wild, but now I can tell my friends who are out in the world that there's a better way, right? My struggle was a sign that my God was on the way. My struggle was a sign that my God saw me and he's coming, right? And he helped me to a victory. Me overcoming my struggle can ultimately be hope to somebody that God is real. Romans 5, in verse 3, it says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Right? And maybe today you're still in the middle of that struggle. You're still in the middle of that fight. You're still in the middle of something. And please, like, understand that I'm in no way minimizing what you're going through and just telling you to change your perspective. I'm not, like, minimizing the big thing that you're going through. I know that there's a lot of pain, and I know that there's a lot of hurt, and I know that it's tough and it's hard. But I also know that we serve a mighty and a faithful God who promises that in my weakness, his power is perfect. Right? So today, if you're in the middle of something, you can choose to look at it as a struggle, or you can choose to look at it as a sign that God's going to do something miraculous in my life. Right? So despite all the bad that happened to Israel in the wilderness, God instructed Joshua for them to remember the good that he did for them, right? Remember the good. Not only did he have them remember, but he had them remember together, collectively, right? In our walk and in our journey on this earth, who we have with us on the journey is almost as important as where we're going, right? The Lord had Joshua approach this gathering of the stones, this remembering of the good that he had done. He approached this as a family affair. He had them all gathered together and say, you know, this is a memorial that we can look back on. Whenever our kids look at these stones and ask, well, what are these for? We can tell them, this is where God brought all of us through. This is where God brought all of us as a nation through our struggle and brought us into the promised land. Right, he wanted them to be tied together from generation to generation. He wanted them to have this bond, right? They would all remember together. And in that same spirit, in that same spirit of gathering stones and collectively remembering the good that God has done for us, I want to do that with us this morning. So what I want to do is I want us to get into groups of four or five. And I want us to gather stones together. I want us to remember the good that God did for us. Remember where God was faithful. Remember God's goodness through this year. Okay, so can I get you to come up? As Shelly begins to play, if you guys would just gather in groups of four or five, and for the next like 5 or 6 minutes, let's gather stones together. Is everyone pretty much good, or y'all need some more time? More time? Y'all good? Good. Y'all need more time? All right, guys. After Israel gathered the 12 stones, right after they got the 12 stones together, they had formed a memorial where they could look back and look at God's faithfulness, right? They had gathered these stones. Even after all that, things still weren't perfect, right? Things still weren't, you know, rainbows and sunshine and everything being just great. There were still battles that they had to go through, right? There were still struggles that they had to face. And many of us in this room, and as this new year is wrapping up, and even here as we're focusing on the good that God has done and everything that he's been faithful with this past year, even in doing that, I think that some of us still find ourselves in the back of our minds still worrying, still stressing, because we're facing something very real, right? We're facing something that's there, it's present, right? I'm here to tell you today that the God that we serve is more real, is more here, and is more present than any struggle that you find yourself in today, or any struggle you could ever find yourself in. And I'm sure that if you look back on your life, and you look back on even this year, you'll see that you've gone through stuff, and God's taken you from one side to the other, and God's been faithful all the way through. And if he's done it before, he'll be faithful to do it again, right? And so what I want to do for this next portion, the next 5 or 6 minutes as well, is for us to encourage each other and pray for each other for those struggles that we still find ourselves in. Going into this new year, if there's something that you're holding on to, if there's something that's just weighing on you, share it with your group, right? Because we're, at the end of the day, we're a family here, right? This is a family affair, just like it was for them. It's the same for us, right? We're called to walk this thing out together. And so, these next 5 or 6 minutes, something, you know, that you're worried about, something you're stressing about, something that you're struggling with, share it with your group, and let's pray together as a group going into this, as we finish off this year, going into this new year. So the next 5 or 6 minutes.
How many groups needed another couple of minutes? Raise your hand if you need a minute or two. Okay. I'm going to close in prayer. If you missed last week and you didn't get across, we have a few extras that are right up here at the front. We'd love for you to take one home for as an ornament on your tree. Love for you to have that. Edgar, what a great message. I think the phrase that captured me was, before the miracle was an obstacle. In 2019, for some of y'all, had a lot of obstacles. 2020 is the miracle. Amen. For Go Church, setting up and tearing down has been an obstacle. But in 2020, we will have our own tool for the kingdom of God. Amen. So, a tool to reach more people. Before the miracle was an obstacle. I like that. Would you just grab hands at your circle? Father, we thank you for this word today, God, that it was a word for us at the end of 2019 to celebrate the stones, God. All the things that you did for us, even in the midst of those things, sometimes we may not have realized it, but we look back and say, thank you, Jesus, for all the things, God. And Father, before there was a miracle, there was an obstacle. Father, for all the things that we have struggled with and we've looked upon as obstacles in our lives, whether it was health issues, whether it was finances, whether it was struggles spiritually or in relationships, in our families, God. Father, we are believing in 2020 for 2020 that it would be a miracle year for us. Our families would be stronger than ever before, God. Our children will be lovers of Jesus like never before. Father, our places of work, God. Father, if you don't want us in the place that you would move us to a better place, God. Father, this building that we will move to will be used for your kingdom in powerful ways, God. It will be a tool for your kingdom, and we praise you for that, God. That, Father, the obstacles that we see are our miracles, God. And we praise you for who you are in our lives, God. Thank you for this family we call Go Church that gathers on Sunday and throughout the week to celebrate your name, to learn more about who you are, God, and to share love to the people all around us, God. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.